Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, the Treaty of Rome, which established the European Economic Community, was signed on the 25th of March 1957. And the growth of the EEC, or the EU as it is now called, has been uninterrupted since until last week. The United Kingdom triggering the start of their process to leave the EU. Most commentators here say this should not affect Ireland's commitment to the EU project, but not all. And our next guest wrote a column in the Irish Independent last week suggesting that we too should consider leaving the EU, which has, in his words, lost its way. In studio now to tell us more, we have Ray Kinsler, Professor of Banking and Financial Services and Healthcare at UCD. Ray, you're very welcome to the show.
Many thanks.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So, first of all, Ray, do you think Brexit will lead to some soul-searching among the remaining 27 member states of the EU?
Well, it already has. If you look at Europe's policies in the last couple of years, they've led to widespread dissatisfaction, particularly austerity, right across Europe, and particularly in the peripheral countries. So it's not Brexit that has triggered this. Brexit is a response to what's been happening in Europe in the last 10 years.
Mm. And the response to what's happening, I mean, where do you see are these weaknesses of the European project?
Yeah, it's important to say that the European project, as you say, was so positive when it was established. It was established after the war. It brought peace, or helped to consolidate the peace in Europe. It gave a moral direction as well as an institutional direction based on subsidiarity, solidarity across member countries. Now, what's quite sad, really, is that in the last 10, 15 years in particular, it's not what Europe was, it's what it's become. And Brexit, in my view, is not about the UK leaving Europe. It's about the UK leaving what Europe has become, which is a highly centralised, imbalanced, inequitable and unfair set of constructs that's basically focused on the core, and the core, Germany, the Netherlands, to an extent France, they really determine where Europe is going, and it's that core group that have imposed policies, divisive policies, on the rest of Europe that has led to a great deal of pain, yeah, among many countries that are forced to adjust, not least Greece, but I mean, it's not only Greece. So we now see a very different type of Europe to that which Ireland and the UK bought into in the 1970s. And Brexit is, in my view, a rational response. It's Britain saying, in effect, look, Europe has lost its way. It's taken too many powers. It's time to devolve those powers back to Europe, Britain, where they should be. And it's about Ireland having a real debate about what's happening. It's about Ireland looking at this in a very balanced way and saying, okay, are we comfortable with the fact that we are now such a small player in such a large bureaucratic institution? Are we really happy that a country that spoke about its destiny, its august destiny among the nations of the world, is unimportant, that it's at the sharp end of what Europe imposed during the deep recession? Is it happy with a Europe that has discarded what Ireland is committed to in terms of neutrality? Europe is a very different place today, and there is much to be said, in my view, compelling economic but also political arguments for standing aside from that in a managed way and a very respectful way.
Well, let's just focus on that for a minute. So the whole concept of stepping away from the EU, I mean, it's first of all never discussed, but what would it actually look like? I mean, we're looking at the UK now spending 2 years negotiating their way out of it. Is it going to be possible to get the benefits of the EU economically and stay away from the sort of bureaucratic and divisive policy?
In my view, just as Ireland joined with Britain, there is much to be said at leaving at the same time as Britain in a managed exit. Brexit will probably take up to 5 years. Now, we have to say whether or not for Ireland, with such close institutional linkages with the UK, with the labour market, with common travel, particularly with the North, whether or not we really shouldn't be going in the same direction. That emphatically is not about becoming part of Britain, but rather it's looking at Scottish independence, it's looking at England, it's looking at Wales, it's looking at Ireland, what we have and what we can achieve in a much more synergetic relationship with Britain. And by that I mean having much more control over our own economic destiny. Now, a crucial point here that again isn't often discussed is whether or not we have the leadership to do that. But bear in mind this. Very serious analysts from Joe Stiglitz, the Nobel Prize winning economist, to Mervyn King, the former governor of the Bank of England, and many others, have looked at, for example, the Eurozone and seen that it has failed and that it's in terminal decline because it's imbalanced. Many others have looked at Europe and said, is in the wake of the UK leaving, is a European army really the biggest idea that Europe can come up with?
That was Jean-Claude Juncker's thought that he published a few weeks ago.
It was, and it resonated across Europe, and there have been serious moves in that direction. I think what's also very disturbing is not just the centralised nature, not just the marginalisation of peripheral countries, but it's this whole, what I called in a previous article, the militarisation of Europe. Paradoxically, the EU, or as it was then, the European Community, was a response to that type of pressure. Now, we're looking at a scenario where there are 7,000 NATO troops parked on the border of Russia. That makes no sense, and it's certainly not aligned with what Ireland's philosophy on peacekeeping and neutrality is about.
It's interesting. I mean, I suppose we could talk about many elements of this, but seeing it seems that NATO are quite aggressive. The European Union wants to be quite aggressive.
It's extraordinary that, and I say that as somebody who's looked at this in terms of political economy for a long time. NATO talks about Russian aggression. Now, the Ukraine is a special case, and it never made sense for Europe to invite, unwieldy as it already is, Ukraine, which is a broken-backed economy and is very much part of that Russian-Ukrainian hinterland. It made no sense for them to try to bring it into the European Union, other than as a provocation and as a means of advancing NATO troops up to the very border of Russia. I see no evidence of so-called Russian aggression, but what I do see when I look across the Middle East, from Libya to Iraq to Syria, those tectonic forces that generated such a tragic mass of immigrants, I do see the results, the outcomes of militarisation, and I am profoundly uncomfortable with what's happening in Europe. That's one dimension. I mean, Europe is fragmented between the prosperous core and the debt-ridden periphery. It's fragmented in terms of Eastern Europe and a small core group of countries that are called the Schatz. But it's also in an identity crisis. At one level, recently Merkel and some of her colleagues were saying, well, you know, let's look at a multi-speed Europe. Let's look at maybe going back to a trade bloc. But on the other side, we see the five presidents' report only 2 years ago with an unequivocal commitment to European political union. Now, sometimes in history, we have to stop, reflect, and incidentally pray, because we know from the history of Europe alone that once you embark on a certain path, it is very difficult to turn away. But more positively, I think Ireland has so much more to offer. If it's a united Ireland in terms of values and principles, so much the better. But an Ireland that's working with the United Kingdom, that has more responsibility, that has moved away from this centralisation, that has more control over its natural resources, that has vast experience in foreign direct investment, that is a more stable, more secure, safer way forward.
Mm. And that's what you'd like. That's what you'd like to see. Do you think it's possible?
I think it's entirely possible. Interestingly enough, for the last few days, I've been rereading the life of Sean Lamass, and it's been fascinating the way that Ireland, in the 1920s, re-engineered its future, to the extent of major projects like the rural electrification. If you come to the late 50s, when Ireland was in deep crisis in poverty, emigration, rural decline, again, there was a coming together of a leadership. And it's part of the Irish fable now, but nevertheless, it's very much evidence-based. There was a transformation. We re-engineered our future. We did that again in the late 1980s. Now, this is the important point. We wouldn't be allowed to do that today. Europe has control over our resources, our fiscal position, the kind of projects we can undertake. That, to me, is not what independence is about. And I think we can contribute more to Europe. I would be unequivocally respectful of Europe, all that it stands for, once stood for, and some of the achievements, particularly in the field of education. But as with Britain, my view is that it's not Europe we're looking at, it's what Europe has become. And it's better, as in a relationship that's difficult. I mean, when you have a relationship that's not going anywhere, and in which one of the two parties is leaning on the other, making veiled threats about what will happen if you go, that's not a respectful relationship. And it's not just couples it holds for countries too.
Mm. Well, it's fascinating to hear you talk about it, Ray, and I suppose we'll certainly be talking again, because this is going to be ongoing. But Professor Ray Kinsler, thank you so much for joining me.
A pleasure. God bless.
Yeah, we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.